Welcome to the podcast at High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in.
Man, what a delight it is to be back here in Longview, High Ridge, visiting the family, you know, the Cuzzos in East Texas. I was telling the earlier service that a lot of times preaching out is like dating. And I'm glad I'm not in that category anymore. Happily married for almost 7 years, 2 kids, absolutely loving life. But you know how it is, like when you're in that dating season of life, you see somebody that you're kind of attracted to. You think, man, could this work out or something? And then you go on that first date. And depending on how that first date goes really determines how you move forward. Like if it doesn't go right the first time, you lose their phone number, disconnect with them on Facebook, you know, stop following them on Instagram. But if it works out, man, you're going to set up another date. So it's so amazing to be invited back. So I feel like this dating relationship is going well. So I want to say thank you to you. I want to say thank you to Pastor Tim, Tina, for their hospitality and for inviting me back here. It's always a delight to be invited to speak, but always a double honor to be invited back. So I believe God's going to do something amazing this morning. How about you? You know, your expectation sets the tone for what God wants to do in your life. And when you come into church and you come with expectancy, God will exceed your expectations. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about perseverance. I don't know what you've come in here with. Maybe you've got some burdens in your life. Maybe you're going through something. And whatever it may be in your life, or maybe everything's going right in your life, well, bookmark this message. Because every one of us has to have the attitude of perseverance. When you're living in the kingdom of God, you have to persevere through some trials, some hard times, some things that may come up in your life, but God's always going to be in control. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And while you're turning there, or it's going to be up here on the screen, I have to tell you this story about a guy who was praying, and he was just having a conversation with the Lord. And he was asking God some questions that he had. So one of the questions he had is, God, what is the conversion of time here on earth to in heaven? And the Lord said, well, you know, 1,000 years on earth is like a minute up here in heaven. And so the guy thought, okay, well, let me ask some more questions. So he said, all right, what's the conversion of money on earth to heaven? And the Lord said, well, like $1 million on earth is like a penny up here in heaven. And so the guy was like, man, with this kind of conversion rate, I could ask for anything. So he says, all right, Lord, do you mind? I have a request. He said, can you give me $1 million? And the Lord said, sure, just give me a minute. Some of y'all will catch that on your drive home. You know, 1 minute, 1,000 years. Okay, 2 Timothy, let's move on. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your spirit that's already in this building. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence and for what you're about to do in the next few moments, Lord. As we dig into your word and we search out the truths found in your word, I pray, God, that you would just give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, and a mind to understand what you want us to know about this life that we're living in your kingdom. I pray, God, that we would have a spirit of perseverance, God, that revelation would come this morning. We know that you're going to do amazing things, and we thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, and everybody say amen. All right, so before we get started, I want to give you a little bit of context of what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're talking about perseverance. We're talking about making it through this life. And at the end of this life, there is a prize. And God is very much interested in rewarding us and awarding us and giving us crowns and prizes for what we do in this life. In fact, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, there's nothing wrong with having treasures on this earth. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. In fact, there are some false teachings and false gospels that are out there that teach us that in order to, if we have nice things on this earth, then we're greedy, we're selfish, we're covetous. And so Christians ought to stay away from having nice things. But that's not what Jesus is saying. You can have nice things on this earth. You can have a nice bass boat. There should be some amens coming right now. You can have a quad. You can have a nice house. You can have nice cars. You can have nice things on this earth. What Jesus is saying is don't let your focus or let your heart be on things of this earth. But understand that whatever you collect on this earth will one day burn up. That house will one day go up in smokes. That bass boat will one day disappear into ashes. Whatever you collect on this earth, it will have an expiration. You won't find a U-Haul following a hearse. You're not going to get to heaven one day and be able to rent out a storage unit for all the stuff that you collect on earth. You don't get to take that stuff with you. But Jesus is saying, let your focus be on heavenly things, because when your focus is on heaven, you will have a heavenly reward. See, those that have stored treasure in heaven look forward to eternity, because to them, death is gain. See, I'm not in a hurry to die. Like, I'm not going to go out there and run in front of a car. But I'm not afraid of death either, because I know what awaits me on the other side. I know that I've stored up enough treasure in heaven that when I get there, I'm going to get my just reward. And so we live our lives every day making a deposit into one of two accounts. One is an earthly account. And the earthly account is going to pay dividends as long as you're here on this earth. It has a limited time that it pays dividends. But we also can deposit into a heavenly account. And we can understand that if we deposit into a heavenly account, that's an account that will pay dividends for eternity. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 6, when he's talking about this, he says three times, he says, "Your Father who sees in secret will reward you." God loves to give rewards to us. God loves to give us prizes. And he wants us to persevere so that we can attain those prizes. See, how you live your life on this earth will determine what awards you receive in the life to come. We know that heaven is the greatest reward, but within heaven, the scripture is full of the idea that there are going to be crowns that we receive. There are going to be rewards for how we lived our life on this earth. That's why it does matter how you live on this earth. It does matter how you speak to others. It does matter how you treat others. It does matter what you say, what you do, because one day we're going to all give an account for how we lived our life on this earth, and right now we're storing up treasures to one day get it. See, where are you storing your treasure? You have to ask yourself that question. Where are you storing your treasure? Where are you putting your time, your efforts, your energy, your prayers? Where are those things going? And it's with this understanding of treasure and prize and awards and rewards that I want to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, because this is Paul writing, and Paul is at the end of his life. And if you know anything about Paul's writing, you know that he's constantly talking about rewards and prizes, and he's constantly talking about the crowns that we will one day attain. And yet in 2 Timothy, he's writing to Timothy, and Paul is keenly aware of the fact that he's about to die. So 2 Timothy is the last epistle ever written by Paul, and in that epistle, he tells Timothy some things that he should do. He says, this is how you ought to behave yourself in the church. These are the people you should stay away from. This is what you should emphasize in Scripture. This is how you ought to behave yourself in this way and that way. And then he starts talking about himself, and you have to understand that Paul is right now, when he's writing the 2 Timothy, this epistle, he's writing it from prison. He's imprisoned, and he's awaiting his final sentence. So he's been in prison before in Rome, but this time he knows, like, this is it. This is the end of the road. And so being keenly aware, he even writes to Timothy, and he says, the time of my departure has come. So we know that Paul is writing, understanding that he may never write another letter, and yet when he's writing to Timothy, he almost sounds excited about dying. Now, from Timothy's perspective, you got to understand, for Timothy, Paul is his mentor, his spiritual father, the one that he puts a lot of emphasis on, the one who found him and who kind of nurtured him into the gospel and nurtured him in the ministry. And so when Timothy is reading this letter, no doubt his eyes are filled with tears. He feels anguish at knowing that the man that he considers to be the most important person in his life on this earth is about to die. And yet from Paul's perspective, Paul is almost excited about the fact that he's about to die. You know why? Because he believes that his entire life, everything that he has done since becoming a Christian, every mission trip that he went on, every person that he shared the gospel with, every time he took a trip across the sea, everything that he'd done is culminating to this final moment when he breathes his last breath and he will finally attain the prize for his perseverance. See, he who moves away from his treasure has reason to despair, but he who moves toward his treasure has reason to rejoice. See, your perspective determines your focus. Whatever your perspective is what determines what you focus on. If your perspective and if your focus is on earthly things, then that's what you will collect and that's what you will focus on. But when your perspective is heavenly, you will focus on heavenly things. Your prayers will change. The way you live your life will change. The things that you say will change. The people you hang around will change because you know you are storing up treasures in heaven. See, Paul rejoiced in his suffering and his imminent death because he said, I'm going to attain the crown of righteousness. And the crown of righteousness is the permanent state of righteousness. So what Paul is saying is that I'm about to die, and when I do, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to get to heaven, and Jesus is going to give me the crown of righteousness. And what that signifies is that I have run a great race and I've finally attained full righteous status for eternity. And it's with this understanding I want to go and dissect the scripture a little more, because Paul says there are three things that I've done in order to persevere and three things that I've done in order to attain this prize that I have. So I want to talk about three ways to persevere. Number one, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Can I tell you that living for God, this Christian life, is a battle? See, I love Paul because Paul loves sports. He loves athletics, and he always talks about them in his writings. He's always painting this picture of fights or races. And Paul says, look, living as a Christian is like being in a boxing ring and having to fight. And he paints this image that the Christian life is not given to the weak and the apathetic. But the Christian life is given to those that understand that when you gave your life to Christ, you gave your life away. And that you're going to go through some hard times and you're going to be tested and you're going to go through trials. Can I tell you that? Temptations, trials, sufferings, hardship, etc. are inevitable in the life of a Christian. It's like somebody signing up to go into battle, somebody signing up for the army, being sent into battle and then being shocked when there are bullets flying over their head. You join the army, bro. You're in a battle. When you become a Christian, you join an army, and you're going to have to go through some things. In fact, when you study the word fight means agon in Greek, which also is where we get the word agony or agonize. So what Paul is saying is that I've agonized, and I've done it really well. I've gone through some things. I've had to go through some hardship. I've been tempted. I've gone through all kinds of tribulations and trials, and I've done it. Why? Because I know that's what God is calling me to do. Can I tell you that you have to understand that if you want to get to the other side of this, and if you want to come out stronger, you will have to go through some suffering. No pains, no gains, right? This is just a confession, but I have a love-hate relationship with the gym. I really do. It loves me. I hate it. I'm not the type of person. I know there may be someone in here that you just love. Like you wake up and you just live for the gym. You know, I can't wait to get in there. It's such a stress reliever for me. It's not for me. I'm not that person. For me, I have to motivate myself with a result in order to get into the gym. But I know that if I want to get buffer, I got to suffer. I know if I want to be okay with walking around with a sleeveless shirt at the beach, I have to hit the gym and go through some suffering. Your faith is the exact same way. God will allow your faith to be tested because the faith that is not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. I'm about to start preaching now. I'm sorry. See, God will allow you to go through some things in order to strengthen your faith and strengthen your belief in who he is in your life. The scripture even says that God will never put more temptation on you than you can bear, but he will always make a way of escape. But he will allow you to get to the edge. God will allow you to have to fight through this life. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold on eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In other words, what Paul is telling Timothy is that, Timothy, you cannot be apathetic. You cannot just lay around. You can't just sit around, but you are a target for the enemy. Why? Because the enemy knows better than you probably the impact that you can have if you fight this battle. That's why, parents, you got to fight for your kids. Husbands, you got to fight for your wife. I didn't say fight your wife. Don't get it twisted. Don't go home. Pastor Tim said fight you, so here we go. Fight for your wife. Wives, fight for your husbands. Fight for the relationship. Fight for what God has put in your life. Fight for the purpose that God has called you to. Get a fight in your spirit that says, you know what, come hell or high water, I'm ready to duke it out for the purpose that God has in my life. The second thing that Paul says is, he says, I have finished the race. And other translations say, I've finished the course. And when we look at the course, we know that this is a way or a course that God has laid out for each and every one of us. And we can't deviate from the course that God has for us. My course is different than yours. But Paul said, I have finished the race. So many of us as Christians, we joined the Christian body. We accepted Jesus into our life on Sunday, and man, we were ready to conquer the world. We walked into the office on Monday trying to make everybody a convert. You know what I'm saying? Like you gave your life to Christ on Sunday, and you were like a missionary on Monday, and you were ready to baptize everybody on Tuesday. And then reality hits on Wednesday. The boss, still a jerk. Your coworkers, still acting weird. Family problems, still didn't change. And now you feel yourself starting to slow down on this race. Can I tell you that God wants you to finish the race stronger than you started? Can I tell you that you have to take inventory of your own life and ask yourself, it doesn't matter if you've been saved for 3 days or 30 years, but you have to ask yourself, is your relationship with God, is your faith stronger today than when it was when you first received Christ into your heart, or is it weaker? Because God wants you to grow stronger. He wants you to run this race to its fullness. Can I tell you, Paul had plenty of opportunities to throw in the towel and quit running. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he goes through an entire list of things that have gone wrong in his life. He says, man, I've been beaten, I've been shipwrecked, I've been falsely accused, I've had to go through tribulation, I've been homeless, I've been left out in sea, I've been stoned. With actual stones, you know what I'm saying? Not the stone that we do nowadays. But he said, I've gone through a lot of stuff. Yet in all that I've gone through, in all the persecution, all the things that I've faced, he said, I still run. Why? Because I know that there's a prize waiting for me. When you know what's on the other side of the finish line, you will run as hard as you can to get it. So you're in a race. Now run harder than you've ever run. Now, I'm the next gen pastor in Fort Worth, and So I get to oversee our young adults, our student, and our kids ministry. And right now we have 4 student interns that are working at the office. And it's super cool to have these young, fresh faces with all cool ideas. And one of the guys that's the intern, he's amazing. Like, the hand of God's all over him. He can speak. He can MC. He leads Bible studies at his school. Just amazing. He's 16. But he's at that age where he's really feeling himself. I know some of you parents don't know anything about what I'm talking about. But he's really feeling himself, you know, and so he's challenging. And so we were talking about racing and being fast and stuff like that. And he said, Pastor Tim, I could beat you in a foot race. And I had 2 thoughts. My first thought was, man, I have nothing to prove. And my second thought was, I've got everything to prove. And so, you know, it's been a while since I had a foot race, but I was like, How am I going to let an intern challenge me and not go race? So somebody said, well, let's do it old-fashioned way. Let's meet in the parking lot at 3 o'clock, and let's do this thing. So I said, all right. So I went out to the parking lot 30 minutes earlier for some stretches. No, I'm just kidding. But I stretched, and I got ready, and then this is what happened. Check it out. I don't hear anybody clapping right now. Yes, I did put Eye of the Tiger on that video. You may be saying, well, he's half your age. It doesn't matter. You may be saying, well, we should have taken it easy. No, I was running to win. Hey, listen, he's half my age, and he's got time to catch up with me. But for right now, I'm running to win. You know why? Because I'm in a race, and God is looking at you the same way, and he's telling you it's time to run. Blow holes in your knees. Do whatever you got to do, spiritually speaking, but run this race. God has a race for you. Paul begins to write in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, you've all been to the stadium. You've seen the athletes run. Everyone runs. One wins. Run to win. All good athletes, they train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. But you're after one that's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else about it, and then missing out myself. Can I tell you, God is calling you to pick them up and put them down and run as hard as you can, because this race is not given to the swift, but it's given to those that endure to the end. God wants you to make it all the way, because he has a prize for your perseverance. I'm sorry, I'm getting too excited. Let me calm down a little bit. Lord, have mercy. Okay, point number three. Paul said, keep the faith. He said, I've fought a good fight, man. I don't miss any punches. I've run a good race. But thirdly, and most ultimately, is I've kept the faith. Can I tell you that there will be plenty of opportunities in your life to stop believing? There will be plenty of situations and trials and tribulations and temptations that are going to come in your life that are going to tempt you to stop believing. And you as a Christian need to understand that the most important thing for you to make it to the end, to persevere, is your faith. And when I say faith, I'm not talking about, you know, the Christian doctrine of what is what, but I'm talking about your belief in what God says is true. Because Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. Can I tell you that the foundation of your Christian life on this earth must be faith? If Paul said, I kept the faith, he was able to keep his faith, that obviously means that he was able to also lose it. And I don't mean lose his faith in that he could lose his salvation, but I mean lose his faith in that he could have lost hope. He could have lost that belief in God, that God was going to take him all the way. He could have very easily stopped along the journey and said, you know what, it's just not worth it. I don't want to go through any more of this suffering, any more of these tribulations. You know what? I give up. I stop. I'm not gaining anything out of it. He didn't end up being rich. He didn't have a mansion on some hill somewhere. He could have easily said, this is not worth it. And yet, Paul was keenly aware that perseverance is what I need in this life, because God is waiting for me with a prize for my perseverance. Can I tell you that faith is simply believing that God tells the truth? Somebody needs to hear that. Faith is not so complicated you can't understand it. Faith is not you psyching yourself up and believing, and trying to you know, get your mind into this trance state so you can believe in something that you really don't believe in. But faith is simply you believing that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And if he said he's going to heal you, then believe that he's going to heal you. If he said he's going to take you all the way through, then he's going to take you all the way through. If he said he's going to bless you, then he's going to bless you. If he said he's going to do amazing things in his church, he will do it. And all you have to do is believe him. The onus is on him. It's not up to me to perform until I get to a certain state that God will move. No, God says, simply believe me and I will fight your battles for you. I'll help you run this race. I'll help you keep the faith. All you have to do is believe. So let me ask you this. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 one more time in conclusion. He said, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, the word henceforth just simply means because I've done this, now moving forward, he said, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me. I love this because what Paul is saying is it's not exclusive to me. This is not a Paul thing. This is not an apostle Paul. You don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to write all these letters. You don't have to perform at the epitome of what it means to be a Christian. He says simply, it's not for me. It's not just for me, but it's for all. It's also to all who have loved his appearing. That means that the prize, the crown of righteousness, the things that God has in store are for you and I. It's for those that persevere. So let me ask you this. When this life is over and you stand before the Lord, can you answer this question? Can you say with certainty that you have fought the good fight of faith? Can you say that you ran this race to the best of your ability? Not, that doesn't mean that you have to run as fast as I do or run as fast as your neighbor. Yeah, obviously, I'm really fast. Just kidding. Just kidding. But you don't have to run fast. You just have to run. God sets a stride for every person. And he's not judging you, and he's not comparing you to other people, but what he's saying is, I need you just to keep going. I need you to persevere. So can you say with certainty that you've fought a good fight, that you've run this race, and that you've kept the faith? Can you say that, like, when hard times came, yeah, you were tempted to, man, throw in the towel. And all of us, that happens to all of us. But somehow you held on to the belief that God has a good plan for your life. So there's three questions that I want you to answer. Number one is, does God know about your situation? Y'all can answer. Does God know about your situation? Let me ask you this. Is it too hard for him? Thirdly, does he have a good plan for you? That's all you need to know to persevere.
Hey, friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, that's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from him. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God himself is reaching down his hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ, but you walked away from him, and he knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer, and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died, but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message, if that's okay. HighRidgeLV.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you.
If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to highridgelv.com/give if you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless. Thank you.